Hello and welcome. It's hour number two of the Ben Maller radio program. Glad you have found us. Podcast format here in hour two, a 2-for-1 double dose on the Maller monologue. We begin with a little hardball action, Major League Baseball. Do we buy or sell recent reports that Albert Pujols had a meltdown with manager Joe Maddon in Anaheim, and that is what led to the Angels releasing him? By the way, we are selling that. I'll explain why. And we are not cheerleaders for Russell Westbrook. He's now the king of the triple-double, passing Oscar Robertson by. We'll tell you why that is not all that impressive a record. We'll explain that and more. It's coming your way right now in hour number two. Some hardball drama in Anaheim. Welcome in the beginning of yet another hour of the Ben Maller Show. We are in the air everywhere as we ramble coast to coast, border to border, and beyond on the vast and powerful microphones of FSR, emanating live from inside your eardrums, providing marginal sports talk radio all night long here, hanging out at the Fox Sports Radio studios. We will have a mini Maller monologue coming up later. 2-for-1 shot here on Russell Westbrook as he sets a record. He broke Oscar Robertson's record for triple doubles. I will give you my thoughts. If you love Russell Westbrook, you probably won't want to listen to that. But we begin this particular hour with professional baseball, and we revisit a story we discussed last week behind these microphones on this show. There's some new information that has come out regarding the demise of Prince Albert. And if you have not heard, it is juicy. And I love a good juicy scandal. So if you missed it, let me give you the truncated version here. So we have learned that Albert Pujols had apparently a major meltdown. And then he was handed his pink slip. Pujols was supposedly yelling at Angels manager Joe Maddon. Boy, who would ever yell at Joe Maddon? Joe Madden's like a hippie guy. Just want to hang out, have a good time, drink some Chardonnay and call it a day. But according to the reporting, Pujols was yelling at Joe Maddon, was blasting Madden's managerial skills. Very upset. And all of this because Albert was informed that he would be in the starting lineup for a game. I think it was last Wednesday, and he ultimately was not in the lineup. So he was told the day before he was going to play. He wasn't in the lineup, and that was the trigger point. Didn't sit well with Albert. By the time the day was over, Pujols was yelling at the Angels president, the general manager, saying that he wasn't going to retire, insisting he did not want to spend the rest of the season on the bench, and he blasted Joe Maddon's ability as a field general. Now, Maddon was asked about this report, and he said that it, you know, cited two anonymous sources. He disputed, Maddon did, the characterization that his and Pujols' exchange was confrontational. Maddon's quote said, I'm hearing all this stuff being reported, but that's not me. Maddon said, reiterating, I've heard this stuff, but it was not what I actually witnessed. Close quote. Well, this is a weasel way of answering. And I like Joe Maddon a lot. I was around him before he became Joe Maddon, when he was just a coach with the Angels back in the halcyon days. But we got a he said situation. So there's a couple things in play here. And let's just make it as simple as we possibly can. The question, are you going to buy or sell that Albert Pujols had a meltdown and that meltdown is what led to the release of Albert Pujols? That was the straw that broke the camel's back. Here's the way I look at this. Do I believe that Pujols had a meltdown? Yes. Do I believe that that was the thing that pushed the Angels to release him? I'm going to sell that. I don't buy that part of the story. Now, my observations here, you got medicine strategically and round numbers. And we will lock all of this together. Now, number one. Albert Pujols was let go because he sucked at a time you cannot suck. If he was hitting 298 instead of 198, the Angels would not have considered doing this. Everything else is subterfuge, right? He wasn't playing well. Pujols had reached the end of the rope. He was expendable. The Angels had gotten into the final year of his contract. They were queasy and nauseous watching him attempt to play professional baseball at this point at age 41. And the Angels could afford to swallow their medicine, right? They're like, listen, they knew this day was coming. It's the timing that makes you scratch your head. Why wait a month and then sink Albert Pujols' battleship when you're a month into the season? Now, from my perspective, here's what I think happened. The Halos simply wanted to make sure that he was completely washed up. There was nothing left. They didn't want to get burned where they got rid of this guy and he went to the Red Sox or the Yankees or somewhere else and he started smashing home runs and all that. Once they established the fact that he couldn't play anymore officially, even though he hasn't been able to play in 3 years, but I digress. Once they reconfirmed what they already knew, they then hit the eject button. As we said in a previous episode. Now, the second thing here, even though we disagree with the premise that Albert Pujols, the reason he was released was because of the temper tantrum with the Angel brass, that doesn't mean it didn't happen. Like, Joe Maddon gave a very tepid denial slash spin, the Angels manager, that there is a sacred oath in the locker room that what happens behind closed doors stays behind closed doors until you leak it to a sports writer and it gets blasted all over the internet. Nevertheless, we don't doubt that the Angels, the reason this story ended up, and it was Bob Nightingale who had the reporting, the reason this story got out, whether it was Nightingale or Rosenthal or whoever, this was a strategically placed leak, right? You strategically plant the leak. Anytime a story gets out from an anonymous source, what do we always say? Right? We always say, connect the dots backwards, see who benefits, because that's the party that let the story out. And in this case, it doesn't help Albert Pujols to look like a total douchebag diva. It doesn't help his cause, especially if he wants to continue playing baseball. You know who it does help? The Angels. That's who it helps, right? I mean, this is a very popular figure in baseball. The Angels are getting killed. They've been roasted by some big-time royalty, like David Ortiz, for example, blasted the Angels, several other players. I saw comments by Adrian Beltre, the ex-third baseman for the Rangers, and others who ripped the Angels. And Albert Pujols is seen as royalty. Right? He's the upper crust. And this is a low-class move. The Angels are being called shameful. It's disgraceful that this is an opportunity by strategically leaking this story to one of their buddies in the media, one of their friends in the media, then this helps out that you can save face a little bit, right, in the court of public opinion. Many felt the Angels should have given Albert Pujols a gala ceremony so the fans could have a curtain call for Albert one last time. Now, to me, this is delusional thinking. Right? It's absolutely delusional thinking, and I'll tell you why. Albert Pujols was not only a baseball player, he was an abject failure with the Angels. I mean, you can't say it any other way. And the prestige that he has, the clout that Albert Pujols has is St. Louis clout. It's not Anaheim clout. There's no need to highlight the pathetic $250 million contract. You're not supposed to draw attention when you make mistakes. You're supposed to kind of hide those mistakes. Now, the final point. So Albert Pujols wants to continue playing at age 41. He still believes that he's an everyday player, allegedly. And my perspective on this, don't be naive. Right? This is a simple numerical situation. Round numbers. Humans love round numbers. Something is satisfying about round numbers. And Albert Pujols, he knows he's likely never going to play for a good team again. Like, he could get picked up by like the Cleveland Indians, who are like a fake good team. You know, they're a contender, but not a real contender for the World Series, anything like that. Or you can go to a team like the Marlins or somewhere and attempt to catch on, although they're a National League team. But the round number thing, Albert Pujols is 33 dingers away. 33 dingers away from 700. That is the motivation. That is the driving force for this situation. And so far, the free agent market has greeted Albert Pujols with a sound round of crickets. All right. Much like when I used to look for employment in the early days of my radio career, I was told, don't call us, we'll call you. Tony La Russa seemed to make a lot of sense. La Russa is a card-carrying sycophant of Albert Pujols, and even he does not want to bring Pujols into the White Sox there. There's not a good match. The Cardinals have Paul Goldschmidt and Nolan Arenado. They don't have a DH, so even the Cardinals are like, hey, we'll bring you back if you want to have your ass kissed for a night, but we're not going to actually sign you to a contract. So you look at like the Cleveland Indians. I mentioned them. And there's a possibility because of a need. And it seems like even the usual suspects, the Yankees and the Red Sox, who have been tempted by players like Albert Pujols, try to catch lightning in a bottle, they're not interested. And then you think, well, maybe somebody would be interested in selling some tickets and some merchandise. And you look to people like the Tampa Bay Rays or the Oakland Athletics, but we're still in this weird time. We're not completely out of the COVID thing yet, and even though stadiums are going to be expanding and attendance will be expanding, there's still this reluctance. So that's where we are. That's where we stand right now. So again, just to repeat, if you're late to the party, do I think that Albert Pujols had a temper tantrum and got upset with Joe Maddon? Absolutely. 100%. Do I think that that was the reason that he got let go? No, he got let go because he's hitting 198 and sucks. That's why the Angels got rid of him. If he was good, it wouldn't matter. Like, if Mike Trout said Joe Maddon doesn't know how to skipper a team, then they would fire Joe Maddon and Mike Trout would be in the starting lineup that
night. You're fired.
That's how that works. All right, it is the Ben Maller Show. Now, I have been asked to address the big story in the NBA. So I will do that right now. It was a record-setting night. The new king of the triple-double in the NBA on a random midweek night as the regular season winds down. We're less than a week away from the curtain coming down on the regular season, the curtain going up on the postseason, the beginning of the postseason. And Russell Westbrook is the lead story all over the place. People all excited about Russell Westbrook, the NBA record for career triple-doubles, a record that had stood the test of time since 1974. And that has now been broken in a game that was played there on Monday night, the Washington Wizards and the Atlanta Hawks, the all-time triple-double record. Which he sets in 13 years in the NBA. Oscar Robertson had held that record, 181, and it stood for 47 years. And then Westbrook went out, had 28 points, 13 rebounds, and 21 assists, and the Washington Wizards lost that game. So let us discuss briefly a mini Maller monologue on Russell Westbrook becoming the all-time king of the triple-double. All right, so with him passing Oscar Robertson by, the question is where do you put this record, right? How impressed are you with Russell Westbrook becoming the triple-double king of the NBA? And you're not going to like the answer if you love Russell Westbrook, but I'm not impressed at all. I'm not. And to tip this off, the reason I'm not impressed is this is a phony record. And what do I mean by that? I remember when Russell was setting the regular season, triple-double accomplishment where every game he had a triple-double back in OKC a couple years ago. I remember when the videos started popping up, and they're still on YouTube, when teammates on the Thunder would treat the basketball like it was a hand grenade and run away from it if they had a chance to get a rebound. Like, for example, Steven Adams, the Kiwi. He had an opportunity to go up, get the rebound, but Russell Westbrook was in the same area, then Steven Adams would defer and allow Westbrook to get the record because Westbrook, the team goal, the stated goal was Russell Westbrook's got to get the triple-double. Once you see those videos, and once you see how many times this has happened when he was in Oklahoma City where Russell Westbrook was given an extra rebound by a very generous teammate who was more concerned about looking out for Russ, it's hard to take this seriously. It's hard to take this seriously. And furthermore, this particular night, a loss to the Atlanta Hawks is the perfect snapshot of what Russell Westbrook's career has been in the NBA. He is a stat bandit. Tremendous stat bandit. He's getting the Manny Petty treatment from the basketball media. Slobber, 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 lick, lick, lick for Russell Westbrook. And in this game where he sets the record, a record that's been cheapened by all those bogus triple-doubles he got back in Oklahoma City, on this particular night, what did Atlanta do? Final possession. Washington's got the ball. Clock winding down. Hawks have the lead. What did Atlanta do? Brilliantly. They baited Russell Westbrook to shoot a perimeter shot. And what did Russell Westbrook do? He shot a perimeter shot. Clank! And that's it. The Atlanta Hawks win the game. Washington loses. And that snapshot is pretty much on par with Russell Westbrook and his NBA career. That is standard operating procedure. That has been the kryptonite of Russell Westbrook. He's the guy you want for 3.5 quarters of a game. But the last part of the fourth quarter, you would like to have him on the bench, because if your plan is to win the game, he's not the guy you want out there. He is out of control. And he can get baited into shooting those perimeter shots, and he can't help himself. You leave the guy wide open. He's a terrible outside shooter, horrifically bad outside shooter. All right, it is the Ben Maller Show. You want to talk about any of that? We yapped about Albert Pujols. Now, Russell Westbrook, you can join us here at 877-99 on Fox. 877-996-6369. Also on Twitter, at Ben Maller. That's at Ben Maller. You can be part of the festivities as well. They're calling him the next phenom in baseball, but who is he? Well, you're about to hear a lot about him. We'll get to that, and we will do it next.
A Hall of Fame second baseman, Blue Jays, Orioles. He was best known for spitting in the face of an umpire.
Craig Biggio.
Wow.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Ben Maller is a man, yes, a big man. He's got his militia and gives them his sporting news. Ben Maller is a man. It's a big man.
We believe in the power of the people in the Maller Militia. Get the most of the Ben Maller Show listening experience by adding your touch. Take a few seconds to follow your host on Twitter. He's at Ben Maller. And you can tweet at and follow our executive producer. He is manning the phone. Some call him the call screener. We call him the Coop de Loop. He also sometimes helps out me when I lock my keys in my car. You can follow him at UH Bronco Fan.
The Rocket. He was a pitcher for the Yankees.
Rocket is a mound.
More great answers like that coming up on Maller's Mountain of Money in the next hour. Now live from the Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
The knowledge, the wisdom is amazing. It really is. The people that play these game shows. Fascinating. So we had a two-for-one special there on the monologue there. We began with Albert Pujols and his story, as it's being reported that the former star, hadn't been good in years, got upset with Joe Maddon there. And I don't doubt that that happened, but that's not the thing that pushed the Angels to release Albert Pujols. Who do we have? Let's see. Paige down here. Charlie in San Antonio says Albert Pujols should be lucky he wasn't let out in handcuffs. He basically embezzled millions from the Halos. How delusional do you have to be to suck the entire length of your contract and still feel like you're owed, they owe you anything? Yes, exactly. Chet in San Diego says the Russell Westbrook narrative is tired. Larry Bird didn't collect records, but he is immortal in the NBA story, he says. Although there was no YouTube. Maybe Larry Bird did the same thing. We just don't know about it because it wasn't saved for posterity's sake on the YouTube. Ryan writes in, says, as an Angels fan, a California Angel fan, so glad Albert Pujols is gone. Never liked the signing, made reckless base running errors. Selfish player, Ryan says. Yes, I said California Angels. That's like two nicknames ago, though, Ryan. They're in the LA Angels now. They were the Anaheim Angels. Come on.
Ben, I'd like to add on, and interestingly, not to the first part of your monologue, the second part of the monologue.
Yes, Cooper, the hot take on Russell Westbrook. Maller hot take on Russ.
Yes, and I don't think it's all that hot of a take.
It's a great take.
I didn't say it's not a great take. I don't think it's all that hot of a take because I just don't understand all of the Russell Westbrook ball washing on Twitter. It's like, okay, look, it's impressive, and maybe it's a little bit more impressive than you're giving him credit for, but it doesn't make Nick Wright, the former board op.
Yes, board op here at Fox Sports Radio, and also does a TV show on FS1.
yes. I forgot what your nickname was for him. Up all night at Nick
something
or something like that. Yeah.
Yes. Anyway. Worked on our show in a long time. He works at the company, but not
right,
us.
Right. So Westbrook gets that record earlier, and he tweets out, you know, congrats, Russell Westbrook, already top 5-point guard of all time. Stop it. Stop. It's impressive, yes. You know, averaging a triple-double. And you bring up that first season that he did it where, yes, there were a lot of those videos where guys were helping him, but he's done it again and again. So
okay, but he wouldn't have the record right now without the help of that Oklahoma City team and all those guys that were running away from the basketball like it was a hand grenade because they wanted him to get the rebound and they didn't want to get it because they wanted the stat to go to him. And
Sure.
So but he wouldn't have the record right now.
Let's play like devil's advocate and say that, you know, he earned those triple doubles and he does have the record. That still doesn't put him in the top 5-point guards of all time. Your bigger point was the fact that it's the same story with Russell Westbrook all the time. When it gets to the playoffs, a clank at the end of the game, he just can't get it done.
Did you see? I think was it Trae Young just kind of laid back and said, "All right, shoot the 3-pointer," and he did. He shot the 3-pointer.
Well, in his defense, Ben, they were down by one. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe he should have taken it the whole. Yeah.
The guy had like seven. The guy had 7 seconds. Westbrook. It takes him like 3 seconds to get to the rim. But no, he sat back and shot a 3-pointer. Remember the Lakers? I hate to give the Lakers any credit, but last year in the playoffs when he was on the Rockets, they were like, "All right, let Westbrook shoot."
Yeah,
and he did.
Yep.
And he sucked.
There's 2-point guards playing right now that are better all time point guards than Russell Westbrook.
Well, you gonna suck up to Chris Paul? Who else are you gonna suck up?
Yeah, Chris Paul,
Steph Curry, and Chris Paul.
Yep, they're better than Russell Westbrook.
I don't think of Steph Curry as a point guard, though. I know
he is.
They say he's a point. I don't think of him as a point guard. I think of him as like a second shooting guard. Like I think Golden State hasn't had a point guard. They just have 2 shooting guards, and now they only have one because Klay Thompson's been hurt for a couple of years. We'll get back to the calls here in a couple of minutes. I did want to say though, there's a lot of hype. Baseball loves to hype up the next generation of superstars, all sports do. The Seattle Mariners, who have a bunch of guys that can't hit, they suck. Like they make the Dodgers look like a great offensive team right now. The Mariners' offense is horrific. So a couple years ago, the Mariners made a trade with the New York Metropolitans, and the jewel of that trade was a low-ranking minor league player who was a first-round pick named Jared Kelnick. And Jared Kelnick is supposed to be God's gift to baseball, and he has been buried in the minor league system because the Mariners were trying to jerry-rig the system. Like the guy, the president of the team, admitted this, and he lost his job. We did some rants about that on the radio several months back. But anyway, finally, after a couple of years in purgatory, this guy is getting called up. His name is Jared Kelnick. He's getting his opportunity, which is great because not only if he's good, that helps the Mariners out, and we want the Mariners to finish ahead of the Astros, the cheating Astros in the American League West, and in a 2-for-1 deal, he would also drive the New York Mets fans wild because this was the guy that got away. And Kelnick was supposed to be the Mets center fielder of the future, and they traded him in a big trade for a relief pitcher a couple years ago. He's the number 4 rated prospect in baseball, and a prospect is just a suspect until proven otherwise. I learned that from a guy who I used to like when he was managing other teams but not the Astros, Dusty Baker, but that's his old line. But it's true, number 4 prospect in baseball called up, going to be called up here to the Seattle Mariners. We are told his first game will be on Thursday. So we'll see if he lives up to the hype or this guy is an abject failure in the minor leagues. But he has put up tremendous statistics in the minor leagues. And I love when that story came out and the Mariners, they totally ran to the hills and like, whoa, we're not trying to rig the system. No, that's not true at all. Yeah, right. Please.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
We'll get back to the calls here in a second. Andrea Virgo in Service on Twitter says, enjoying the show. Great Dusty quote. A prospect is just a suspect until proven otherwise. Sports astrology comes in handy, she says, for that too. Happy new moon in Taurus Tuesday from the Sports Sorcerers. Yeah, I mean, the new moon. I'm all about the full moon. I'm all about the full moon. All about that full moon activity. All right, let's go to the phones. Who do we have? Let's say hello to America's favorite. Oh, well, hold on a sec. Wait a minute. We'll go back to the drag queen in a minute because we have to go. Is this Hollering James? Is this the real, living, breathing Hollering James, legendary caller from the Twin Cities? Hollering James?
Who?
On Fox Sports Radio. Hello, James. Eddie, he has not missed a beat. This is a vintage Hollering James call. He is not he's not paying attention, and it sounds like he might be sleeping.
Yeah,
no, I'm not sleeping.
Uh-oh. Hey, Hollering James!
He was asleep.
I fell off my bed and landed on a pickle jar, and I got hurt on my side.
What?
Uh-oh. He landed on a pickle jar, Eddie. He's very dangerous.
Yeah, a big one. One of those jumbo pickle jars. And let me tell you, what's his name? Cowboy Bob or Cowboy Lenny or whatever his name is. He would like to hear my story.
Well, James, we missed you, James. Thanks for the birthday message, Hollering James. I appreciate it.
Hey, brother, my birthday was so long ago, I grew Moss, but not Randy Moss.
Oh, he's still got the jokes. You are so good, Hollering James. You got the comedy, the whole thing.
Except that Tammy and my family didn't know she's listening to the show. I got my phone. Bro.
Your phone. You have been freed from the shackles of not having a phone, Hollering James. You are back, and you are ready to become the caller of the year on the Ben Maller Show in the year 2021. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. All right, James. I'm glad you're back, buddy. Thank you. All right. We're going to hang up on you. A little rust there, Eddie. A little rust. He started out with some old material.
Well, he was asleep to start it, so he was had the cobwebs going on there. And,
yeah. And as always, nice had the radio back. Turned all the way up.
Of course.
Which I mean, traditional. We didn't get the full snore. The Hollering hey, James is the guy that won a game show fast asleep. One of the great... That moments was, in radio
history. I say the greatest moment in Ben Maller game show history, for sure.
I don't disagree with that. It's outstanding.
Now, I have to admit, I kind of forgot about this person, but he hasn't been around for a while. Somebody asked me on Twitter, do we know what happened to Cowboy?
I do not know what happened to Cowboy. We have not heard from Cowboy. I think he was frustrated with the show because he got bumped a few times, and I don't know that he's called back. Coop, has Cowboy in Windsor, Cowboy John Brad called up recently?
I think it's been a couple weeks.
Couple weeks. All right. So that's the answer, Eddie. Been a couple weeks. Do we need to do a wellness check on Cowboy there?
It seems longer, but I'll take
Helmet Man also.
Well, Helmet Man.
Helmet Man's been over a year without Helmet Man. Huh. But as Eddie said, at some point we hope that Helmet Man comes back and he'll pretend
top
like nothing happened.
Top of the morning to you.
Yeah. He's, oh, yeah, I was in Baltimore with my mom or something like that. You know, you give us some story like that. Like, just completely oblivious to what's going on. Let's check in now with America's favorite drag queen caller, Phalexis in Rochester/Buffalo. He's moved all over the place. Hello, Phalexis.
Oh, Ben. Hello, world. Oh, my goodness. The bell just rang. Hey, Brian Finley looks like a wolf man, don't he? And Tim Tebow, leave my Tim Tebow alone. He's my darling. I love my Tim Tebow.
Yes. Well, most drag queens support Tim Tebow, clearly.
That's right. He's like the Barry Melo of sports. You know what I mean?
Who?
Yeah.
Phalexis, has anyone told you, Phalexis, you have the voice of an angel? Has anyone told you that? A raspy
I
voice
know,
of an
darling.
Angel.
Darling. I'm just like a real rainstorm, wet dream. You know what I mean? Oh, can we say that?
What?
I think you did. Okay. All right. How can we help you, Felixis? What's going on?
Oh, I'm just listening to you. I'm not really into the baseball. I can't wait for NFL to start. This is my dry season, you could say. But I'm doing fine. I'm doing good on Twitter.
All right.
I'm glad you got a lot of Twitter fans.
Those tweets are amazing. You're the worst person I've ever come across on Twitter. And we had a guy that was on Twitter.
Blind people are better than you.
Yeah, Blind Emmett is better on there. And that's an amazing accomplishment, Holler and James. We had a guy that was so excited to be on Twitter, he put his screen name was his phone number, his cell phone number. And that guy's better at Twitter than you are. How about that?
How dare you say that?
Are you tweeting with your toes?
I am the queen. The queen of Fox Sports Radio.
Do you think anyone reads your tweets, Felixis? Are you just sending them out there? You know that
it's kind of impossible. I mean,
it's hard to keep up.
I'm better than that woman that counts the stars or what the heck she does.
Oh, really? You want to fight? You want to fight with Andrea? Huh? You want to get into the verbal octagon?
I'm a real astrologer. I know how to give her a sign.
You are so jealous. Felixis, you are so jealous, Felixis.
I'll give her a sign.
All right. I got to go. Thank you. All right. I got to go. There's a limit on bad calls. I got to move on. Thank you. All right, we got Maller to the third degree. That is straight ahead. Maller to the third degree. Time now for the Insta trivia. And here it is. Blank has 180 catches while lined up in the slot position since 2018. That is the most in the NFL over the last three seasons. So 2018, 2019, 2020. Blank has 180 catches while lined up in the slot since 2018. That's the most in the NFL over that period of time. And the answer, and Maller to the third degree, next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
4 out of 5 nocturnal listeners to sports radio choose the Ben Maller Show to combat insomnia. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. We need your help to grow the Maller Militia. Now live from the Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
And here is the Insta trivia, a blatant attempt to get you to listen a couple minutes longer. We have Maller to the third degree right around the bend. Blank has 180 catches while lined up in the slot position since 2018. Most in the NFL in that time. That is the question. What is the answer? And a lot of creepy answers coming in. The way that question was phrased, you might imagine. Luke, the vending guy, is going with Richard Marks as his answer. Julian Edelman from Ocho Texto. Chris in Des Moines says Troy Williamson, Viking legend. Cowboy in Windsor from Alf, the alien opiner. Who else do we have? Page down. Ronaldo Skeets Nehemiah from Malibu. Ruben, Warren Sapp, and Julian Edelman. Guest by Justin in Cincinnati. Troy in Seattle going with one of my favorite old Hollywood actors, comedians, whatever, W.C. Fields as his answer. Some great quotes by W.C. Fields. My favorite quote of all time from him. Who else do we have? Keith Cash from The Late Night Drug Tester. Inca Terror says it's Uncle Sam, who is currently in a huddle with my bank account. C got it right. Coach C got it right. Bad job by you. Page down. Doug Baldwin, guest by Paulie D. Breadman Bill, the occasional marginal show contributor, says Bronco Nagurski is the way to go. Will in Pennsylvania, longtime Fox Sports Radio listener, says Julio Jones is the way to go. A lot of Juju Smith-Schuster. That was John's and Manic Mike's answer. Manic Mike in Nashville. Rob in Minnesota going with Steve Largent. King Kong Bundy, The iconic King Kong Bundy from Jared. That's his answer. Who else do we have? Page down. Jackie Gleason from David, who knows where all the good restaurants are in Seattle. Big Rig Rob is going with John Holmes as his selection. Do you have an answer, Eddie?
Yes, my favorite Pittsburgh Steeler of all time, Hines Ward.
Hines Ward, the man that they built Hines Field around. No, that is incorrect. The correct answer from the Buffalo Bills, Cole Beasley, of all people. Cole Beasley, the most lethal weapon in the slot position. And that leads us into...
It's Maller.
How about that?
To the third degree. This is when Big Ben gets grilled.
Kubaloo.
So there was a report this weekend that the Texans are, quote, slowly moving on from Deshaun Watson. Now, Ben, let's assume that this is true and that Watson and his accusers settle out of court. But what kind of return do you think Houston can get for him at this point?
All right, so this is a premature situation. Deshaun Watson is currently deep in talks to settle, but he's got to get all 22 accusers to settle. We've talked about this in the past. That would be a logical conclusion for Deshaun Watson. But even if he does that, he's not out of the wood chipper by a long shot because of the punishment. And so the way I look at this, Deshaun Watson and all these stories about getting him moved, it's clickbait. There is zero trade value until and only until the NFL puts the kibosh down on Deshaun Watson and issues punishment. Does Watson get suspended 6 games? Does he get 8 games? Is it 12 games? Is it 17 games? Is it indefinite? That part is open-ended, and until there is some clarity on that, no one's going to trade anything of value for Watson, and nor would the Texans take pennies on the dollar if Watson gets traded and only plays, you know, let's say he, best case scenario for him, he only gets suspended 8 games. So the Texans aren't going to give him away if he's only going to miss 8 games. So that's the key part of this. Next!
Matt Ryan restructured his contracts to help the Falcons out this season, but according to one report, Matty Ice believes that he has several good years left and he would like to stay on with this new Falcons regime. Ben, how many good years do you think he has left?
Well, watching the Falcons play the last couple years, not many. Matt Ryan was, I think he was in the 20s, right around 20th last year in quarterback rating. He's been going the wrong direction. The last time Matt Ryan was considered a top-notch NFL quarterback was back in 2018. And you know, that's a while ago now in the life of an NFL player. And that's the last moment where he said, well, Ryan's putting up legitimate big-time numbers. He's turned into a pretty good fantasy quarterback in the fact that in garbage time, in fact, last year I looked it up, he had 31% of his touchdowns in blowout games where the Falcons were either ahead or behind, usually behind by 3 or more scores. And if Atlanta keeps Julio Jones, it's hard to imagine Matt Ryan will not put up good numbers again because that offense has been weaponized. With Kyle Pitts, the tight end, who's supposed to be really good. Calvin Ridley's still there. But that being said, I expect Arthur Smith to look to change quarterbacks after the season. So I think this is the last year for Matt Ryan here in 2021 with Atlanta. Next!
So after the scuffle between Jake Paul and Floyd Mayweather, there was some buzz that Floyd could potentially fight both brothers in the same night. However, Mayweather Promotions CEO Leonard Ellerbe said that while Floyd could beat both brothers in the same night, it doesn't make sense from a business standpoint. Now, Ben, is it just me, or does that make total sense from a business standpoint?
No, no. The business guy for Mayweather is right, because this is the hustle, the first rule of the hustle. Don't get too greedy. Slow and steady wins the hustle, right? Mayweather, Logan Paul, we don't know how much that fight's going to be. We think it's about $70 on the pay-per-view, somewhere in that area. So let's say if you fought two guys, you bump it up to 100. There's a certain point of demarcation you can't cross. You're not going to get enough people to buy the fight. So at $70 a fight, you fight Logan Paul, and then you do it again in 5 months and fight Jake Paul. You get $140 rather than 100 out of each particular person. So that's the way to go.
But I won't buy either of those fights.
I'd
buy it if he fought two
people.
That's
a win. Coop's fighting back. That's a win. He said win. Yeah.